Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Wednesday, it's a hump day, and we're talking with John Fanta, the man, NBC Sports. He coined three-win Wilson.
Yes, he did.
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
What'd you do, Wilson? You called Gabriel Gobbler?
No, that's not how it happened.
It's Gobblers with, it's an S. There's
yeah,
an
it's
S
a Gobblers, and John. I didn't coin them that.
Oh.
It was suggested as a name for Gabriel fans, and then we just thought, well, what, Gabriel guys? Okay, that's nondescript. Gabriel Gobblers, it's, we're also coming up on Thanksgiving. It just had a whole flair to it.
Oh my gosh. I mean, if there is a crew of people, honestly, that are in that class, then I got to be real with you. They deserve the term gobblers. So for that, I'm with you now. I am with you all the way.
Yeah, what are we insulting?
We
like, you're insulting like four people.
We got a guy. His name's Brian with an I.
Brian, that's right. We searched high and low trying to find Gabriel Gobblers. We got one.
Yeah. Between us three, we represent more helpings at the Thanksgiving table than there should be humans in the Gabriel Gobblers group.
All right, let's get to Shedeur Sanders. How are we feeling about start number one? How are we feeling about what we saw in the Baltimore game?
Well, how am I feeling about start number one? I'm glad that it's happening because all of the discourse and the talk and the back and forth. Look, he gets a week's worth of reps. He has an elite defense with him, and he's playing a team that is right there with the Browns in terms of being an embarrassment and right there in the basement with them with the power out. So you got two of these teams battling in Las Vegas. So look, the circumstances are about as good as you could ask for after being rough on Sunday. Like, let's be real here. When you're staring at the Baltimore Ravens defense, When your first start in the second half, and now it's known, you know, you haven't gotten reps with the second team, and you're looking at, you know, Kyle Hamilton and a Roquan Smith and everybody that Baltimore's got, compared to this Sunday, this is a different type of game and a much better set of circumstances. That being said, you got to go in there Sunday and show something, because this past Sunday you showed nothing. And I'm not here to then make a final judgment on him and say he's awful, he's this, he's that. He made a throw that almost got caught for a touchdown and could have very well changed everything. My brain, fellas, is this. I'm wiping this past Sunday clean. I would do it with any rookie quarterback that got inserted in those circumstances. I didn't think he looked good, but I understand the circumstances. I'm glad this Sunday is happening so that we can watch what a week of prep for this kid against a bad football team with the defense that he's got, you know, with a kicker that appears to be actually making field goals now. Like, let's watch what happens under this situation on Sunday. So I'm looking forward to it. It gives me it gives us more of a reason to be interested in this football team than anything that we've had the past 8 weeks.
Yeah, no question about that one, John. Let me ask you, how much will the week of prep do you feel like help Shedeur?
Well, better, and it should, and I think it will help him. Because here's my thing, guys. And I know what the counter argument to this could be, so if you make it, we could talk about that. But I was thinking about this when Shedeur was named the starter for this Sunday. I instantly thought of Dorian Thompson-Robinson, and I thought of P.J. Walker. Not because I think Shedeur Sanders is those guys, but I thought of Kevin Stefanski, albeit with more talent on his offense. That's where I see the counter-argument potentially. But a defense that wasn't playing as well as this one is, this defense played as well as any defense in the league. That's what's a shame. What a damn shame this is that this football team only has two wins, because their defense, they are wasting the primes of multiple careers right now. But the prep to me is good, because in my mind, if Kevin Stefanski, and no matter how much you feel about him, it's not like when he had Dorian Thompson-Robinson and P.J. Walker, the offense looked like a work of art with those guys. But what I do know is this: the Browns won games against greater teams and a not as good defense, the possessing not as good of a defense, and they beat some teams along the road the past couple of seasons prior to this one and the last one, where you would say, how the hell did they just win that football game? And they found a way to win. And at some point, Walker or DTR made a play or two extra and figured it out. Sanders is set up here. He's set up to win this football game. Like, the Browns can absolutely win this game. The Raiders are not good. They're playing. They look checked out. Now, you could argue the same about the Browns at times. But the Browns didn't play that way on Sunday. They didn't play like a checked out football team. Like, you could hate whatever you want with this football team, but they did. I did not notice any lack of effort in trying to win that game. So the week should be helpful, and there is body of work before this with worse quarterbacks that says that this is a game that the Browns can win. And what happens if Sanders makes enough plays and gets a win under his belt? And, oh, you've still got more weeks on your schedule. You still got more games on your schedule. Like, I do take the approach of, if he's able to find a way, I don't care how you do it, this league is really hard to win in. If he's able to find a way to win his first start, all right, then you go off that and you build off of that. Like, I want to give this kid the real shot on Sunday, because what else do the Browns have to do this season? You know, there's nothing else to gain from this season. Gabriel's not their long-term quarterback. Find out if this kid's got anything that says that he could be that type of thing. Do I think that he is? I personally don't, but I'm willing to give him the shot and want to see it play out on Sunday.
John, is there anything Shedeur can do, let's say starts the rest of the season, that can make the Browns not draft a quarterback in April?
There's nothing that Shedeur can do that says to me that the Browns are not going to draft a quarterback. Now, you didn't ask me when. So are you saying definitive first round when you're asking this question, Nick?
Sure.
Yeah, I think that he'd have to get to a level that even his biggest fans, I think, would be surprised by. You know, never say never, but I would say no. There's nothing that Shedeur Sanders is going to do in the coming weeks that will keep the Browns from doing what they need to do, and that is draft a quarterback and continue to try to draft quarterbacks until they nail their quarterback selection. Because here's the other thing. When you've had 42 starting quarterbacks since 1999, like, he's going to have to be at a level that we haven't seen from a kid his age, from a guy his age at the position. And logic tells me that's just not going to happen. So, and it's not even a knock against him. This roster's terrible on offense. The roster, it's like watching a high school game. Like, the offensive weapons are Quinshon Judkins is having a really nice season. And he's doing a great job, averaging 3.9 yards a carry, because the offensive line is as bad as I've seen. So I'm taking that into account, too. Like, Nick and JP, when I'm evaluating Gabriel or Sanders, that's why I'm saying there's nothing that – it's another reason, too. Like, it's going to be hard for Shedeur to do a ton with this limited of an offense, which tells me they're still going to draft a quarterback. It also tells me that the general manager should still lose his job, because somehow he thought that drafting a quarterback in rounds 3 and 5 was a smart option. And when you look at the offense and you look at their lack of stability on the offensive line and more, how could you have possibly drafted two quarterbacks in rounds 3 and 5 when you have every opportunity to try to better offense in so many areas where you could have done it, and he didn't do it. And now every single week, at times it doesn't matter who's under center because the offense around these people is so bad.
Yeah, John, you're right about that. And I think it's important to note as we keep going about how bad the offensive line is, how bad the wide receivers are. Let me ask you, though, if I were to give you the choices of Dillon Gabriel, Shedeur Sanders, we'll throw Bailey Zappe in there as well. We might as well. And then Deshaun Watson, who gets the most starts the rest of the season for the Browns?
Man, I am going to say Dillon Gabriel comes out of the concussion protocol and probably ends up being the guy that answers that question with most starts. Because I just think that there's a part of me, it's very clear where Kevin Stefanski's allegiances lie. It is very clear. And that if Gabriel had cleared concussion protocol, that he would be your guy. My gut says with this limited of an offense, all right, it's not even all on Shedeur Sanders. I think there's a lot of good NFL quarterbacks that would still not look very good with the guys up front. But my intuition says, even though I don't really see the upward trajectory at this point, I hope Sanders does well enough that he earns himself another start. That's where my headspace is at. But what do I think is going to happen? What I think is going to happen is we're going to see some mistakes from a fifth round pick, and we're going to get the head coach's brain goes to this other rookie has 7 touchdowns to 2 picks. I know what you all think of him. I don't think he's an NFL quarterback myself, but I think the coach likes the fact that in his mind, he doesn't really turn the ball over. I think that's going to be a problem with him and Shedeur Sanders. And I still, if I was voting, I would vote Gabriel on that answer.
John, great stuff, buddy. Appreciate you. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, guys. I've got my popcorn ready. Sunday afternoon for a 2-win football team. It'll be entertaining.
It's always entertaining, except when Dillon Gabriel's starting. John Fanta there, NBC Sports, Cleveland's very own. Potentially, Ignatius is next head coach. Nobody knows. Nobody knows for sure. On the Fan Hotline, we'll react to what he had to say. And somebody on the station thinks Shedeur Sanders will suck on Sunday. Do you agree? Back on Afternoon Drive, Ross Tucker in 1 hour's time. Some have been critical of Ross's messaging on Shedeur Sanders. We'll get Ross's take on Shador's first start. Should be noted, Ross on the Browns-Raiders call this weekend, so have a good vantage point on that. I will tell you, JP, I'm in trouble.
Oh, yeah? Why is that?
So Ness just messaged me. You didn't tell me Sophie wore shorts with pantyhose underneath the school. That's an interesting combo, ... What were you thinking? I feel like by this point, my kids are 15 and 12. I feel like by this point, she should have a grasp on the idea of I'm not going to look at what a kid's wearing and going, oh, that's not right, unless it's so out there that it would have to be like obvious to the dumbest person in the world. I have no fashion sense. I don't think she picks this up.
I mean, there was an attempt made to cover all parts of the clothing, right? Or all parts of the body.
I believe so.
With the pantyhose, right? Yeah. Like, that's good enough for me.
I thought it was like, okay, in fairness.
I don't know.
When I saw it today, because they were like, they almost looked like things out of like the Dr. Seuss, like a pantyhose.
Okay.
Because they were like green and white and like different lines. And okay. I was like, oh, is it like Dr. Seuss Day? I didn't even put it together. I thought the kid was just dressing it, because every week they have like 3 or 4 different days where it's like, oh, it's pajama day, or it's this day, or it's that day. I just thought that's what it is.
Hey, do teachers ever comment if they wear something X amount of times or anything like that? Is that a?
No.
I'm getting used to the idea now that Charlotte's in this preschool that she's in, that anytime one of her teachers make a comment about something, it's really like the heads up of being like they're not saying it in a nice way. They're more saying it like, oh, she's wearing that jacket again. But they'll instead say something like, oh, that's such a nice jacket she has.
See,
but it's them noticing that for like 3 weeks straight she wore the same jacket.
So my Isabella is like her father. I absolutely do wear things twice in 1 week just without thinking about it. Because by Friday, I can't remember what I wore Monday or Wednesday. So my daughter Isabella is just like me. But what's cool about where they are is the only feedback I get on your kid went to school in this is if it's something that isn't appropriate, which never happens for my girls, or it's from my wife.
Okay.
Right about second grade, within reason, teachers stop sending home about what your kid's wearing.
That's good, because I've now become used to the idea, like even like when we went and saw them, one of the kids made a comment, one of the other parents made a comment about it. Charlotte likes stickers. Uh-huh. At night we put stickers on her hand because she just likes it. It makes her happy, right? And the kid's like, oh, you got stickers on your hand. How fun is that? And then the teacher was like, yeah, Charlotte always wears stickers on her hand. And I thought that was just the teacher being perceptive, but apparently that's her way of being like, we've noticed.
No, 100%.
Like, we've noticed, and yeah. They might even be judging a little bit.
No, 100%. And I did not handle that. But like, I am live and let live. Like, and this is, the kids know this. Like, my daughters know, unless you go out there with something showing, like, you can get away with dad, because I'm not going to tell you how to dress. It's one of the things that, it's one of the bits of autonomy that you should give kids once they get to a certain age. And if other people judge how they look, well, that's kind of the world. Like, you got to kind of get used to that kind of thing. The problem is, I always forget that while the teachers don't say anything, oh, this is not going to be the last time I hear about this.
Well,
I get home. I might get like right when we crawl into bed, she'll be chuckling and she'll go, I can't believe.
Was she just in that? Is she just in that age? I saw Kay Adams yesterday. She had a video about like convincing her nephew to wear a jacket was the hardest thing in the world.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Is she just in that age where just kids don't want to wear jackets? Is that just the age that she's in right now?
Yep. And also trying out. Like, by the way, my oldest daughter is too, because they also happen to be Nick Wilson's kids. I don't like wearing jackets all the time. I still at this point will just defiantly wear shorts in December because screw you weather. I will.
Yeah, you show that weather.
Yeah, you show that case of COVID, right? Like, it's the dumbest thing that I do, but unfortunately my kids have it. So I'm in the doghouse.
All right, good.
So
good.
I might be swinging by no-so today.
Okay, yeah, we have an extra room if you need it.
This is great.
We only got one extra room, though. We're running out of rooms.
I'll wake up with a baby. All right, I'll wake up.
Well, you have the snoo. The baby's taken care of. It's all fine. It's fact that these days, you still got to change diapers. Can you change any diapers?
I had three daughters. I can change diapers like
I know
the wind.
You can't. I would never ask a guest to change
diapers.
That'd
be really weird.
That
if
would
I
be
did
really
that.
Weird
that'd
if I was really, like, can you change the baby's diaper?
It'd be weirder if I just offered it up, like, let me take care of this for you. That'd be even more problematic.
Yeah, off, yeah. So we have an extra bedroom. If you need it, it's there.
I probably will. That being said, there's been many a takes on Shador Sanders on this station today. Well, Ken Carmen of the Morning Boys this morning set expectations for Shador on Sunday.
I want to be dead serious about this. I hope this is one of the worst takes that I've ever had, and I hope this is played in perpetuity.
Amazing.
Sunday's going to go rough. Sunday's going to be a bad day, and we need to prepare ourselves for that. It ain't going to go well. It's not going to go well.
You don't think there's Albert any Sprague. Shot?
No.
It's the Raiders.
It's 1 week, and you're doing things that, again, and Jordan Reed brought it up, these are terminal issues. The drifting in the pocket, you're exactly right. You don't have great tackles. The Raiders are a bad team. Guys, you've already lost to one bad team. You're not a good team. You're bad.
Ain't going to be good.
Is that Ken?
Yeah, it was.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Occasionally he'll let that Southern Canton slide out of there. That's so can, as we call it in Summit County. He'll let it ain't gonna be good. That being said, I don't know. I think it's like is Ken protecting himself here? Because I kind of feel like that's what this is.
He's the king of telling everyone else that they're protecting their feelings. You think he is protecting his feelings here?
Yes. I don't think I should go into this game with any expectations for Shador. I don't know how you can. He's a fifth round pick. Some people thought he was a second round talent. He played one half of football in which he was not prepared, not because of his own fault, but because they weren't really interested in getting him ready because he was the backup and they had a young starter they were giving every rep to. I don't know. Like I think sometimes you just have to say, like, hey, what's Shador gonna do on Sunday? Beats the hell out of me.
Yeah, and like we'll find out. We'll be able to. Again, this is the part of this job that just kind of stinks sometimes because I feel like everyone rushes to get their thoughts and their opinions out there, and this is just not the week for that when it comes to Shador. Not after that game. Now maybe Ken is saying this, and this is just speculative on my part, but maybe he's saying this because the idea then is that nobody could have success with this situation that the Browns have offensively.
Yeah, I think that was part of his conversation.
Is that just what that is? So the expectation then would be every week we go into this, whether it's Dylan Gabriel, whether it's Deshaun, whether it's it doesn't matter who it is, that you then think the offense is just going to stink, which, by the way, the offense has stunk all season long.
I just think, like, and I've heard this.
It's not crazy.
I've heard a lot of people say this. Well, everything, all the knocks on Shador that were in the pre-draft process we saw on Sunday. Yeah, the same thing I can say about Dylan Gabriel. Every knock that I heard on Dylan Gabriel, heard about Dylan Gabriel, he's too small, athletic, but maybe not a mobile quarterback, as it were, doesn't have the strongest arm in the world. Everything, all the negatives that I've heard have been true on Dylan Gabriel. Oh, and by the way, the positive, which is he's a supercomputer, has not come to fruition.
Right. I'm curious on that, too. Like, when did people think that everything was just going to magically get cleared up? Like, any of the bad that Shador does bring, I think is good offsets the bad, but you know what I mean? Like the drifting stuff where we've talked about how Caleb Williams, it took this offseason, and then he's like, oh, he magically got rid of all the drifting that everyone complained about his first year. Well, they also got a new guard, new center, new guard. They spent on the offensive line. He's had better protection. All of a sudden, he magically looks different. But you need time for this stuff. Like when did they think, in the resources the Browns have given him, that he would even have the time to fix some of this?
Yeah, and I think that's a great point. Like, I don't expect Shador to look night and day different. I expect him to look incrementally better because he's finally getting to work with the first team. But to me, listen, I will judge Shador on how he plays on Sunday, and I think it'll be more appropriate to do that than how he played this last Sunday.
For sure.
At the same point, like, if he has a average game, whatever that entails, on Sunday, I'll look and go, okay, let's see what he does in the second game. Because every little bit of, like, guys, it'll probably take more than if he starts the final seven games of the season. It'll probably take more than those seven games to get rid of those bad habits. But the hope is, from the first start to the last start, you can weed some of it out. You can weed 30, 40% of it out, and then you take the offseason and the next camp, if he plays well enough to earn it, to continue to work on that.
Well, and I thought it was important today, too. Like, Shador was harping on the idea of reps. And we know this in life. It's a very big thing in radio, obviously, but it's a big thing in anything you do in life. Like, the reps matter. The amount of time you get to do something matters. And I thought that was important that Shador was focusing on that today, because I think it's such a big part of his story, getting those opportunities and understanding that this might be the last opportunity he has for a long time. And that doesn't do him any good either.
216-474-0092. Ken Carman thinks Shador Sanders will suck on Sunday.
Were you surprised by the take? I was surprised by the take.
Well, no. I mean, I think it kind of lines up with what Ken is being.
It's what he went to yesterday, and that's and saying he was terrified, and then he just actually went and said it today, and I didn't see that coming. He's got good bedside manner with it all, so I think people took it in a nice way, but like in my mind, I'm not there. I'm not anywhere close to there in thinking that he's going to suck.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, I don't expect him to light the world up because, well, he's a fifth-round rookie and everything we've already said. But again, my whole point is I have no expectations. Like, I don't think there's a single thing that you can base on, whether he was drafted, a half against Baltimore, any of it. By the way, I sure as hell can't tell from anybody in the media that has watched Shador play or in the pre-draft process, because those guys, and I don't mean this in a personal way, they get it wrong too.
Yeah.
Like, the reality is we'll be able to judge and we'll be able to have expectations for Shador after what we see on Sunday. Not until then. Everything else is just, okay, yeah, that's a part of this, but it's not the whole thing.
Right. We need more time. We need more games. We need more evidence.
And I'll be honest with you.
It sucks for this medium. It does. It absolutely sucks for this medium.
Would Ken be saying this? Would Ken be saying the exact same thing these last 2 days if we didn't see Shador on Sunday and it was just announced Dylan was in the concussion protocol on Monday and Shador starting?
Yeah, no chance. We know that.
Yeah. And no, I just think like that's, again, I'm not trying to throw it all out because in the end, the half against Baltimore and the game against the Raiders, you'll be able to put it together and you've got six games. But as it stands today, I'm just not going to live in my fears for this. It's a 2-8 team, and he's a fifth-round pick.
Yeah, and maybe Ken ends up being right. Maybe he does. But I don't think there's anything in the first half or second half of that game that tells me to all of a sudden believe that that's true right now.
We talked about this earlier in the show about how by the end of the show, I might just stake a claim. I've been to Switzerland this whole time. The conversation might push me to a point to pick a side. Because it's getting harder to be neutral on Shador with the asinine level and just the heightened conversation on him. At the same point, and you said, well, Train's leaving the station. I think Train's leaving the station on people who want to get in line to say I was right about Shador. And I'm not trying to say that in a negative way.
That train's left. That's gone.
I think that's what Ken's doing.
If you're trying to line up to dunk on Shador, you had to do that well in advance of what happened on Sunday.
Yeah, I think that's part
that's
of
your,
I think,
your Johnny
I don't think,
late
I don't
to
think
the,
Ken's alone in that.
You're Johnny late to the party. No, you're Johnny late to the party if you're trying to do that.
Yeah, but I think there's a lot of people that are like, all right, I saw him for half a game.
Now, I do think that's happening. I do think there are enough people out there that are trying to almost save face that did like Shador the entire time, and now you have what happened on Sunday, and because a half a game of football is clouding their judgment to such a high degree.
No scruples.
Now they're trying to maybe rewrite some things. I'm not saying Ken's doing this, but I think I've seen other people try to do this where now they're trying to rewrite it almost to be like, well, if I get on this early enough. And I just think that's the lamest thing one person can do. I mean, we talk about standing for something. Stand for something. If you believe Shador Pryor, there's no way that Sunday should have taken you off of that. And there's no way you think on Sunday that's going to be anything short of a good performance.
All right. Jay in Solon wants us to stop talking about quarterbacks. I couldn't resist this, Jay.
We can't, Jay. That's the job.
No. Let's hear Jay out on this one. Jay, give us your take.
Guys, great show.
Thank you.
Let's talk about the problem, which is the offensive line. Now, when we talk about matchups, we have to understand that offensive linemen out here now are 320, 330 pounds.
340.
When you got 340. You got people like Myles Garrett that are ranging from a 280, 270, 290.
260.
This is not a matchup. A 330 against a 330 is a matchup. A 330 against a 280. This is why all these quarterbacks are getting tore up. They need to start downsizing these linemen on every team. And we need to, the people that we invest in and the people that we depend on, we need to give them more time to throw the ball, time to make decisions. Shador got sacked in a shotgun, y'all. The offensive linemen are too big. We have to rethink our offensive line. Let's start talking and breaking down every person on the line now.
I guess you're not a fan of DeJuan Jones then.
Yeah, I'll also say, Jay, I like getting ratings. If I start breaking down the nits and grits of offensive play,
yeah.
I don't think anybody in town. I think there's a reason why the YouTube channel, and I thank you for the call, buddy. I think there's a reason why YouTube channels that have guys breaking down O-line play have hundreds of views, and guys who talk about quarterbacks like Stephen A. Smith does have hundreds of thousands of views.
People do understand that, like, we have a scoreboard in this, right? Our ratings are like directly tied to our employment.
Yeah.
If we talk offensive line until we're blue in the face, we're not going to have a job.
You know
anymore.
What? Not enough people are talking about strong safety play. Works.
Yeah, I mean, let's do 25 minutes on Ronnie Hickman being a second team All-Pro.
Give me a Loey Gilman versus Grant Delpit. Your five best minutes on it.
Yeah, Hey, by the way, we talked Jerry Jeudy at 3:00. If you want something that isn't quarterbacks, we did a whole segment on Jerry Jeudy today.
Yeah.
Now maybe it was because of his reaction to quarterbacks, but it still happened. We did it.
I love the idea that we should get smaller offensive linemen.
I didn't. I just thought DeJuan Jones was upsetting the man. Is all that was.
The funny thing is, he's not playing.
No, I know.
I think the heaviest offensive lineman
we've
got now is
Cam
like
Robinson's
three.
Big.
Yeah, but he's just bad.
Yeah, but he's big. That's a slot machine with a helmet right there, Cam Robinson.
Well, what, 315? He's not 330. There's no way Cam Robinson's 330.
No, I was thinking 315. When we said it, but that's not tiny in any sort of stretch.
I mean,
he's
now,
got like a bowling ball shape to him that I always think
like
is
all
interesting.
All the Ravens have are fatties.
He's like, listed 335, Cam Robinson.
335?
6'6", 335. That's a big man, Cam Robinson.
Ooh, he hides it. Well
you just
done.
No, I mean, he looks like a bowling ball.
I wouldn't say a pound over 315.
I knew he was big.
I get that all the time.
KT Levingston, like,
you're that fat?
KT Levingston, I know, is tall.
You don't look that fat. Why, thank you.
You don't look that fat.
No, you look fat, but you don't look that fat.
What's your guess on KT Levingston?
Oh, 325.
335.
Oh, sugar booger.
Another big man.
Give me another one.
Man, he looks very angry in his photo. Well, no, we're just into people that everyone knows. Everyone knows Joe Batonio. Everyone knows Jack Conklin. Everybody knows.
315 for Joel? Actually, no, 325. I'm going to stick with that.
For Batonio?
Yeah,
he's around there. I can look at it. I can get his listed weight if you want.
Give me Javier Cohen.
Yeah, okay. I'm not like a... What, you think I'm like ChatGPT? I just spit this out in a second?
Yes.
Batonio's 320.
Yes,
I have to actually look this stuff up.
216-474-0092. Would you rather hear us talk... let's say nickel corner play or maybe second tight end play. Yeah, go ahead. 216-474-0092. And Kent Garman thinks Shador Sanders will suck on Sunday. Do you agree? Chris Fedor had an interesting comment on one of the Cavaliers' best players. You don't want to hear this. In 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcast.
Nick and JP back with you. I think I am with Kevin Durant where most people seem to be with LeBron.
Oh, I don't even know what direction you're going with this because I'm not tired of LeBron, but I think you're going to tell me you're tired of Kevin Durant. Are people tired of LeBron?
I don't want to say that I'm tired of Kevin Stefanski. Freudian slip. Kevin Durant. I've seen it. I get it. He's no longer the Kevin Durant that... I think was so dominant. It was just, you couldn't not watch him. And I just don't want to watch, like, the fact that the Cavs are playing a cheap facsimile of Kevin Durant tonight doesn't do it for me the way that maybe 30-year-old Durant did it for
me. Well, we're in the podcast days, but he's still averaging 26 a game. I mean, it's year 18 for Durant averaging 26 a game on 60% from the field.
Man, I'm not trying to be that guy, but what made Durant watchable was the fact that he was a great two-way player. Like, he was a great defensive player that could make ridiculous things happen. Since the Achilles, he's not been that same player. And honestly, even in terms of what he does offensively, again, still a high-level skill player.
Yeah, he's still scoring a ton.
But it's just not, it doesn't look the same.
I like this version of him with the Rockets, though. I do. I like how tall and massive that lineup is when they go 6'7 and bigger.
I was like, he's always been this tall. 6'7.
No. 6'7. Been a while since we've done that one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Geez.
But not the kids.
Apparently, they're still doing it, is what you tell me.
They are still doing the 6'7".
I don't exist around any, like, I don't know, 10-year-olds ever. So
wait till Char starts doing it. She's like,
it's gonna exist.
And you got to do the juggle up there.
Yeah, not a bad impression of her either. Yeah.
It's hard for me to get that voice up that
But I love that. I love the big lineup that they have. And I think that's just the Rockets are fun for me. I don't know why they're fun for me, but they're fun for me. But with Durant in this age that he's now existed, I feel like he's come around to being more endearing, and I didn't know we'd get there with him. There was a time where I thought he just kind of sucked as a human, and there was a time I thought he just kind of wasn't the most enjoyable thing to be around, and I've just kind of had a reverse course on him. And maybe this is part of what LeBron was for a lot of people at the very end, where you're like, it's been around for so long, I have to just make sure I appreciate it, but I'm at a different spot with Durant than I used to be.
So it's interesting.
With Curry, too, by the way. Same thing with Curry for me.
I mean,
I like Steph Curry way more than I ever did, let's say even a decade ago. I'm now like, Steph seems pretty cool.
I put those two in the same bucket as ball players, but I agree with you on Durant the person. Whether it's Kay Adams' podcast, whether it's his own podcast, I think it's called The Boardroom. I do like Kevin more now. He doesn't seem as thin-skinned as previously. I guess maybe it is. I think I might be the point where, and I've fought against this for a while, because I think I understand that NBA fans might be over the older generation of players. My response has always been, it's good for the NBA. Having four generations of superstars in the NBA, if we consider every 6 years a generation of superstar, having roughly four of those in the NBA at a time is good for the NBA, even if LeBron is 75% of what he used to be. I don't even think it's about the players. I think it's about the coverage of them.
Well, so that's interesting, though, because I don't know how Durant's going to be looked at 15, 25 years from now. Like, that to me is confusing. And I feel like you talk about, like, these superstars, and every five, six years we get one of them. Like, LeBron's got his place in there. Steph Curry's got his place in there. I think Giannis has even, at this point, carved out an interesting little pocket where he'll be remembered for a million years. Jokic is starting to be in some of the top 10 all-time conversations. But, like, when it comes to Durant, he's accomplished everything you can accomplish, but everyone just looks at him as you ring chased, you got it, and you didn't get your own. And so, like, I get the perception that 15 years from now, 20 years from now, we're not going to be like, is he a top 15 player of all time?
So I tend to think time is the utmost, like, it's kindest to, like, the best players. So I almost would say, like a guy like Barkley won an MVP but never won an NBA title. I don't think time's been incredibly kind to his legacy.
Well, his TV appearances have been.
Well,
and yeah, that helped a lot.
But again, I think that's almost overshadowed his playing career.
So I wonder, though, like, if that's Durant's role, though, if it ends up being something like that, where he would have Barkley wouldn't have been forgotten. He dominated for too long of a stretch, but he was also in that secondary tier in a way that we're talking about with Durant. Like, he might need another hook to stay relevant for 30 more years.
So there's a name that I'm going to throw out. And obviously this name has changed because he passed away. But he was the player that I gauge great players on, because I don't think he was a top 10 player in his time. Meaning, like, when he left the game, I don't think he was a top 10 all-time player. That's changed because he's passed, because people now have bumped him up. But for me, a long time, my superstar test was, do I think you're better than Kobe?
Yeah, and Durant fails that test.
I think Durant versus Kobe's a fascinating conversation. I would probably, if you said I could have one of those two players, I'd probably take Durant.
From an accomplishment standpoint, Durant is left in the dust.
I mean, Kobe, three of his titles were because of Shaq.
That's not how it's perceived at all.
Well, no, because he died. I'm not trying to be insensitive,
No, I don't know. You love Shaq. Shaq was your favorite player growing up. There's a lot more people that think that Shaq was there with Kobe than Kobe was there with Shaq.
Because they didn't watch the thing in real time, and because Kobe's passed. I'm not trying to be insensitive at all.
But even from MVPs down to titles, though, I think Kobe's left Durant in the dust in that.
I mean, Durant's got two titles. Listen, Kobe's got two titles.
I'm not... Excuse me?
Kobe was the best player on two championship teams. Kevin Durant was
You're
the best player.
You're rage baiting me right now. He's rage baiting. Mac, is he rage baiting you right now?
I am not rage baiting you.
He's rage baiting me right now. Oh, you guys are both rage baiting me right now.
I'm not
You're acting like Kobe was like the eighth player off the bench and just along for the ride.
No, he's just not the best player on three of the five championship teams he played on.
Man, I hate this take from you. It's fine. Shaq was your favorite player growing up. I'm not going to be able to, like,
Shaq
talk this one out of you.
Shaq was the better player for both of the first two titles, at the very least. Shaq was the face of those teams. Kobe was a very good player. I'm not trying to take anything away from Kobe, but from those titles, it's not even just about perception. Shaq was otherworldly.
He was your favorite player growing up. I think you're remembering that a little bit differently.
No, I'm not. I'm remembering
it's not my memory of it at all. My memory of it was they were a tandem. They hated each other. They didn't get along with each other at all, but they were a tandem. It was a Batman Robin type thing, but Kobe was not the one playing Robin in that role.
That's exactly why they broke up, is he wanted to be traded so he wouldn't be Robin to Shaq's Batman anymore.
No,
That fell apart.
No, it fell apart because they didn't get along at all. I think it bothered Shaq in many ways, as it probably should, that Kobe was a much more beloved Laker than Shaq ever was and ever will be. That's not even a debate.
216-474-0092. Get back to Kevin Durant.
So we just take away three titles?
We don't take them away, but he didn't get credit for them as the lead star. He wasn't the alpha on those teams.
That's insane. I just strongly disagree, but go ahead.
The lead in 5 minutes?
Oh, we ran out of time, yeah.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.